Welcome to a brand new episode of Baffled. It's your favourite fact podcast. I can say with some certainty the Baffled boys are back making all the noise. My name's Dan. Mark is also here.
Hello.
Connor is here too.
How are we doing?
Yeah, good, mate. I've got three facts for you this week, slightly out of order. I've got something about the first meal on the moon, a weird weigh-in, and a missing person who you might have forgotten about. Mark, what have you got?
Right, this week for you, a shopping trick not meant to trick you, New York cabs, and the White House.
Connor, when Mark says the intros to his fact, how does that make you feel? How do the teasers make you feel?
Do you know what? Progressively over the last few weeks, excited.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
I'm doing the reverse. Connor, what have you got for us?
We're going to talk about the creation of something and how I don't think the creation works properly. Smelling things and how it can help you. There we go. And expensive desserts.
There you go. Nine facts for you in the next 45 minutes or so. Stick around. It's a brand new episode of Baffled.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
We're all here. We've made it back from our jaunt in Area 51. Connor, how are you feeling about that, about uncovering some secrets?
Well, I've kept an eye out for the aliens, that, you know, looking in the sky, just seeing if there's any about. I've seen a few UFO-like things in the air, but I think they're just seagulls and magpies, but I'm not sure.
When I was growing up, a mate of mine would hack a lot of stuff. Like, when we were 13, like, he was always hacking stuff, and he accidentally hacked into, like, the US government's mainframe or something.
Accidentally.
Like that.
You don't accidentally hack into government's mainframe.
I know, but the point is that
he's... Oh, no, that's... Oh, I'm in the US mainframe again. No, that's a mistake.
Mum, I had no idea. You know, I was having my little Wednesday go of Club Penguin. Next thing you know, I'm hacked into the US
just
military.
Suddenly in the middle of the US government mainframe. Oh, how did I stumble here again?
Oh, this isn't Habbo Hotel. No, so he was like 13. So people do stuff when they're 13 like that. And he was, he got told off by the FBI, CIA and everyone like that. And I wonder if this is what's going to bring us down in a similar way, us, our uncovering of Area 51. I don't know.
I mean, has anyone else had dark windowed cars following them and men in suits with earpieces following them this week?
Yeah, I've had like really weird Instagram DMs as well. You know, individual words that make sentences strange.
Yeah, no, Connor, that's just the... We'll talk about those later, all right? Just don't click on any of the links, yeah?
Okay, yeah.
Right, first fact of the day goes to Connor.
So this really is quite hard for me to wrap my head around, so please help me here. It took the creator of the Rubik's Cube 1 month to solve the cube after he created it, okay? So my biggest thing here is how the bloody hell did he create it then? How did he know it works? I don't understand.
Well, I guess, I mean, it's pretty easy to create, isn't it? You just create a thing and just go, right, I'll put all colours on one side, all of them on the other side. And, like, there has to be a route back. If you start from that and you just go... There has to be a route back. So therefore, you have to know it's going to work. It's just, can you find it?
But the question is, why has he invented it?
Because he was bored.
Yeah, Mr.
He'd got fed up of accidentally stumbling into the US government mainframe 7 times that week. He was looking for something else to do, accidentally got in the mainframe and went, you know what, I'm going to make this thing called a Rubik's Cube.
Have you ever tried one, Connor?
I have tried one, yeah. I can't do them, obviously. I mean, me of all people, definitely Rubik Cubes and Connor Knight aren't something that go hand in hand. But the creation of it,
that's what you're doing, mate. Do it with your hands, it becomes easier.
Do you know what's funny? This is going to sound like an insult and it's not. I'm always amazed at the opinion that you have of yourself, Connor. You're like, it's your like... Oh, me and this thing don't get on. Like, putting yourselves in block capitals. Me and the Rubik's Cube do not get on. Connor Knight and admin do not get on. I enjoy that.
I feel like sometimes it's just an excuse, though, that you just go, I don't want to do that. Me and a Rubik's Cube don't get on. We don't go hand in hand. No.
But I understand that it's taken him a month to solve it, but I get what you mean as well. You whack the stickers on the side and the colours and there will always be a route back. But surely with these sort of things, you need to have a little bit of testing involved. You know, you need to kind
this
of
was
like,
his testing.
Know
it took
that
him a
it
month.
Can be done.
And he went, that's...
Nah, I don't, well, it was already created.
That is subsequently hard enough.
It was already created at the time. What do you reckon he'd done for a living? I found this interesting. What do you reckon his actual job was, profession?
I imagine he was a professor of maths. I imagine that's why he invented it, no?
No, he was an architect.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Fine. That's not too
very
much
bored
of a
one, apparently.
Not too much of a leap.
Yeah, what do you reckon his name was?
Mr. Rubik.
Oh, I did know this. This is a really annoying thing that I do know, but I can't remember it. Joseph Rubik.
Erno Rubik.
Yeah, Hungarian, is that right? Is he a Hungarian?
Hungarian.
How do you
beans?
Know
yeah,
so much about Rubik's Cubes?
Well, I can do a Rubik's Cube.
That doesn't mean that...
No, you pick up these things. You learn these things.
Well, yeah, of course you pick it up. You can't just leave it on the table.
You have to twist and turn. No, you learn these things along the way.
Quick question for you. It wasn't actually originally called the Rubik's Cube. There you go. What do you reckon it was called?
The why did I invent this? It's so hard! Cube.
I can't outdo that. What was it called?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie to you. I didn't enjoy any bit of that, but the Magic Cube.
Yeah, okay. I knew it was a thing like that. I thought it was called like the Maths Box or something.
Mm. But there we go. So Erno Rubik, up yourself. Good man, you know, if you're listening. What's going on?
Isn't he dead?
Probably
yeah,
is.
Of course he's dead,
yeah. But shout out Erno, boy.
Right, I've decided I don't want the last fact because the last fact always goes down like a lead balloon. Setting myself up for this one. Mayors in High Wycombe, England, are still weighed before they come into the job and after they come into the job to see if they've fattened up on their taxpayers' money.
That is potentially one of the favourite things I've ever heard.
Yep. At the beginning of every mayor's term, this has been around since... since the 1600s, they use a scale from the 1700s. Their weight is recorded, then kept for a year, and then the next year, until the mayor has to come back in again. The town crier rings a bell and announces how heavy the person is.
Can you imagine that? You walk into a room, just a town crier just ringing a bell, going, "This bloke is very fat!"
Yeah, exactly.
It's like a really, really, really bad version of that weight thing that people go to where you sign up. What's it called?
Weight Watchers.
Yeah, it's just, this sounds horrific, doesn't it?
Well, I'm feeling very good about myself right now. I don't know about you. It was first introduced in 1678. Yeah, and it was used as a real tool to weigh the mayor each year to see that, so the citizens of the town who paid their taxes, if the mayor was getting fat off the taxpayer pound. Now, when it was started, the mayor was in fact corrupt. He was a drunken slob. But at the moment, you know, it's 340 years later and it's very hard to be like that as a mayor. Although there was that guy in Toronto, wasn't there? Yeah, so that's what's going on. Still do it, still weigh them before and after.
Are you talking about the money that he's got in his pockets?
No, as in if he's gorging himself on the taxpayer pound. If he's spending all of their money, all the salary that they give him on food.
Oh, right. Did you think it was pound coins
in the pocket?
But what if he's trying to save the taxpayers' money and he's going to McDonald's rather than down the local health shop, which sells stuff at stupidly expensive prices?
Right, hold on, stop a minute. McDonald's, the 1600s, what are they serving then in McDonald's in the 1600s,
But he's still
Mark?
Doing it now, Connor.
No, yeah, but... Well,
that's
back
the
in
fact,
the 1600s,
he's still doing
McDonald's.
It now.
Yeah, I don't know. But isn't this just common? I mean, I don't want to start getting all political and I start slagging off, you know, people of power, but surely there's a little bit of a... either side of the money that's coming through the world that we live in.
A little...
Yeah, well, I mean, it's in the news all the time, isn't it? So-and-so's had a pay rise and so-and-so's had a pay rise, you know.
Where I grew up, the town councillor, he wasn't the mayor, I think he might have been the MP, there was a big, big, big to-do that he was effectively taking money and buying second homes and all of that stuff, and they locked him in the local church. Like, the people came out and locked this bloke in the church and kind of barricaded him in because they were so annoyed. This still happens, though.
Where Mark's from, his local mayor was a cow.
Yeah.
Because Mark grew up on a farm, apparently. Yep, there we go.
High Wycombe is a town very close to my heart, so I was very happy that this was the thing. The crowd would boo or cheer him, depending on whether he lost or gained weight.
Isn't it wonderful?
Imagine that today, by the way.
You can't
say anything about someone. Imagine going on Instagram and booing someone's weight.
Cool. Imagine a video of that on Twitter with cancel culture. But I do kind of half enjoy this as well. You know, this guy's had an absolute mare, you know, and then he's caught out in front of everybody. Bells are ringing. Everyone's laughing at him. Like, it's the epitome of, you know, really bottom of the barrel that, isn't it? Like, you probably would not feel more embarrassed about something ever in your life. Kind of a good way of punishing somebody for bad, I say.
You mentioned McDonald's earlier.
Yes, I did.
We're going to find where a McDonald's relic is in a little bit. Mark, what's your first fact of the podcast?
Okay, let me ask you a question. Connor, I'm going to ask this to you because you are our king of getting past supermarket tricks.
Yeah.
Why do supermarkets charge something at, let's say, £4.99?
It sounds quite obvious.
They charge it at £4.99?
Yeah.
Because you're a lot more inclined to pick something up at £2.99, £4.99 than you are at £5. It makes it feel more expensive.
That is a reason, yes, but that is not the original reason that pricing strategy came in place.
Well, I would have thought it was more of that. I don't know, something they don't want to give away masses of change.
No,
Mark, I'm just going to tell you right now, you've built this up, this best be good.
So, the reason that shops will charge something, not rounded up to the nearest pound, is because it means that the cashier who is doing your shopping for you has to go into the till, therefore can't just pocket it.
Okay, that's very interesting.
So, if something was charged exactly £5, it's very easy for them to give you a fiver and them to go, okay, fiver in the pocket, thank you very much. If it's £4.99, they've got to take that fiver and they've got to go into the till to get your 1p change out. So that is the first reason that this was bought in, or at least so is documented.
Very hard to do now because you've got to ring it through.
Yeah, nowadays it's hard, and obviously now you've got cards, you've got contactless, so it's kind of a little more redundant now. But when the first till system was bought in, because I mean, if you think about this, going back in the day, you'd have paid, you know, when money first came in, there wouldn't have been tills or anything like this. So they bought in this automated system to immediately clock through anything that's done, so cashiers can no longer kind of just siphon a little bit off on the side. And the easiest way to do this was make sure they had to go into the till to get change out.
Yeah, I enjoy that.
I enjoy that as well. I guess it makes a lot of sense. There's something else. I'm trying to think. Well, it's the same when you go and get your hair cut. A lot of the time you go to a barber's, they might charge like £14.50 or £13.50 because a lot of the time you might give them £15 in cash and you'll be like, just don't worry about the change.
Well,
and there's
stingy.
Their tip. It's
that's
the same
stingy.
Sort of concept.
You're only giving someone 50p tip on a £14.50 haircut.
Well, a lot of the time in Essex, you're paying probably £22.50 for a haircut in the local high street, which is a lot of money. So you're paying actually £25 because they usually keep the £2.50.
Yeah, I do that as well. It always makes me feel good. No, I'll keep that, mate. Yeah, but they clearly do that for a reason. But again, why are they doing that for that reason? Just charge me more and then I don't feel like I need to... I don't know. I really enjoyed that. A little bit mind bending, I think. Someone sat down and thought about that. I wonder who nicked stuff from them that made them do that.
Yeah, it was something which apparently came in from Europe originally. Yeah. So it was the Europeans that had it first, and then it got brought over to the UK. While I was doing the research for this, I heard about a town that had a pound shop, and then to undercut the pound shop, a 99p shop opened next to it. And then to undercut the 99p shop, 97p shop opened a couple down, but opened with an offer of everything's 95p.
Here we go, right?
I'm all over that.
You've opened up a little can now. When we was trying to swiftly move on with the podcast, 99p pound shops are complete nonsense. They're daylight robbery, mate. Nothing's even a pound in there. So it's all £2.
My favourite... Well, yeah, A, that's a ridiculous thing. But my favourite thing as well is when you go into a pound shop and it has things like, oh, a pack of Maryland cookies, which normally have like 79p printed on the front. But because it's a pound shop and they're like, oh, we're going to sell them for a pound, they get them where it says like €1 on the front, just so that you, in the hope that you don't notice.
But usually, sometimes you get like double things though. You know, you get your money's worth, you get two bits of shower gel. I love a pound shop. I don't like the people in there. I feel, dear listener, I feel that I'm above them. But, you know, you could take that as you will.
God, never go to a 99p or a 97p shop selling at 95p then either.
Connor, give us your second fact of the show.
Okay, I mean, we do this a lot, don't we? We talk about expensive things and we always make the same mistake of asking the other two how much they think it is. So I'm going to avoid it here because it might end up ruining the fact. But the world's most expensive dessert from New York's Serendipity...
£5 billion!
£5 billion. Cafe comes in at a whopping $25,000 for a single dessert.
That's ridiculous.
I feel that you're look, and I'm not one to give you a live listen air check on air. I feel your delivery didn't quite match the fact. You seemed a bit down and depressed that you had to read that out.
No, oh, I
you're just upset it exists in this world.
Do you know what it is though? I think it's ridiculous, you know. But it's called a Frozen with three R's in the name, because why not? It's 25 grand. Add a load of letters in, it makes it sound loads better. Yeah. Frozen hot air chocolate. That's what it's called. Little apostrophes on the E, which made the you know. Frozen hot air chocolate.
What usually foods like this have just got loads of gold plated stuff in it to make it more expensive. What's it got in this?
Okay, so it's added to the menu of Serendipity 3 Restaurant New York. This is where you'll find in November of 2007. The dessert uses a fine blend of 28, is it cocoas? Cocoas?
Cacao?
C-O-C-O-A-S. Cocoas. Cocos, right. There including 14 of the world's most expensive. The sundae was made in partnership with Luxury Jewelry Euphoria in New York. The dessert is decorated with 5 grams of edible 23-carat gold, Daniel Wright, and is served in a goblet lined with edible gold also because, you know, gold's there to be eaten. The base of the goblet is an 18-carat gold bracelet with 1 carat of white diamonds. Kind of a little bit ridiculous because you're not really buying the dessert, you're actually buying the bracelet that's at the bottom of the dessert. Yeah. That's ridiculous. I'm putting a ring in the middle of it. The dessert is eaten with a gold spoon. Ridiculous again. You know what I mean with a gold spoon? I think it's all a little bit mental. And itself is decorated with white and chocolate-coloured diamonds, and you can take them home if you fancy it.
I would start arguing that this isn't a dessert that costs $25,000.
No, exactly. You're actually getting a golden spoon.
Yeah,
bracelet.
This is a takeaway jewellery piece, which is worth $24,900. And then for $100, you're getting a bit of food chucked in on the side.
How many of these are they ever selling?
Yeah, do you know what
it's
I mean? Retro. Well, actually, quite a lot. It's very famous amongst the rich and famous.
It's a status, isn't it? It's like, you know, they get bigger, bigger, bigger yachts, bigger yachts, bigger yachts, bigger, bigger, bigger yachts, bigger, bigger yachts. It's like that. Yeah. Have a sing, why not? It's like, he's unbothered by it, isn't it? It's like that, but it's a
just
dessert.
Straight over his head.
It's like that, but a dessert.
I was at a restaurant the other week, looking through the wine list. £20,000 for a bottle of wine.
Sure. What's the most amount of money you've ever spent on a bottle of wine?
Hold on a minute. What are you invoicing for Baffle, mate? What are you invoicing for Baffle to be in a restaurant that does £20,000 wines? Where were you?
Sometimes you just want to go and eat in a 3-star Michelin restaurant, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes you just want to do that. Sometimes it's paid for you by the people that make this podcast. Sorry you didn't get
Yeah, well, I'm saying, chumping, listening to him banging on about bloody posh restaurants in Area 51. You're out there swanning it with the toffs in Mayfair.
Basically, yes.
I think this dessert is such a flow rider. That was the note I made. Such a flow rider. You know the singer, Flow Rider?
Yeah,
this is his kind of dessert. Yeah, this is his kind of dessert.
No.
He's that kind of guy.
I feel like
it's more of a pit bull.
Yeah, it's more of a Mr. 305, Mr. Worldwide.
Yeah.
Who's superlative to Flo Rida, Mr. Florida, I think.
Snoop D-O-double-G.
No, Snoop Dogg is dining out on that Just Eat discount he's got for life. Come on.
It's just too high getting Just Eat, whatever it's called in other languages.
I think the concept of it, though, is the hardest thing for me to wrap my head around. It's like serving somebody a chocolate brownie and it costs 50 grand, but then you turn around and go, well, there's 50,000 pounds of diamonds in there. Well, the brownie isn't really 50 grand. You put diamonds in a brownie. So it's kind of like,
can I not just buy that out of a counter where you haven't smothered it in ice cream?
Sorry, but quickly. But on the other hand, you look at it and you go, it's been on the menu since 2007. We're now in 2021. It hasn't gone anywhere. It's still served. So there's obviously some success in it.
I know we sometimes ask quite a lot of you listening, you know, take your badge to the edge of the Grand Canyon, jump in, that kind of crap. I am very curious to know, though, what's the most expensive thing you've ever bought at a restaurant? You know, be proud, be brag. I'm just very, very curious to know what's the most expensive thing you have ever bought in a restaurant. Send it over to us, info@bafflepod.com.
I can kick it off for you just to make you feel like, you know, we're all part of it. Haagen-Dazs, Paris, avoid it. Joke. Absolute joke, mate.
What, how much is that?
Build your own ice cream.
Yeah, you're a mug.
Yeah?
You're a mug's game.
Yeah. Go along, build your own ice cream, that gimmicky thing. 6 of us. How much do you reckon? Go on. Go on, rough guesstimate.
What's the point?
Did it have 20,000 worth of diamonds in it.
I don't know, $50.
€300. €300.
Mate, you have been ripped off. Though.
I did a similar thing. That's €50 in ice cream.
Yeah, and all you're doing is it's like, what do you want for your base? A bit of cookie dough or a donut, sir?
I once did a similar thing with Magnum in Sydney, and I think I had to pay about $6 for an ice cream, which at the time made me balk. Yeah, so info@bafflepod.com, please. Let us know the most expensive thing you've ever bought in a restaurant. And you can always send your facts there as well. Right, time for my second fact of the show. Where has Ronald McDonald gone?
I mean, I'll be honest, it's been my lingering question since 2012.
Where has he gone?
I don't know, into retirement.
Do you remember a few years ago when there was the spate of kind of clown crimes across America and it kind of...
Yes.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
So, I can't remember how bad things got. I don't want to speculate.
When the new It came out, pretty much, wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't really want to speculate just in case things got really bad. But there were like... some pretty horrible things involving clowns around America. Some of it seeped over here into the UK, but we always do something worse. McDonald's retired Ronald McDonald because of that.
I mean, you would do, wouldn't you?
Yeah, but it's just, I never put two and two together because I don't really go much to McDonald's anymore because I'm very clean living now, thank you. But, yes, remember McDonald's birthday parties? You definitely had one, Con. You, when you were called Dylan, you had a McDonald's birthday party.
Up the McDonald's birthday parties. They were the best. You used to get your little cheeseburger, your little fries, your little drink, and then your little squeezy bit of your ketchup and your barbecue sauces. Loved every bit of it. And you always left the gherkin on the side at that age. And, love them now.
And Ronald McDonald was there.
But Ronald McDonald was never the criminal. There was the bandit. He was the criminal.
No,
right?
Not the bandit. It was called the Hamburglar.
Sorry.
That's the point. But yeah, but I mean, I've got a picture of him here. You can't see this at home. But just imagine what Ronald McDonald looked like. You're right in what you say, Connor.
I mean, he is creepy.
He is creepy.
I would say that, yeah, their branding on Ronald McDonald was very, very retro, yes. But looking back now at 2021 on it, terrifying. Petrifying, like really just not the sort of thing you want to be looking at when you're trying to indulge in a McFlurry.
I've never understood the appeal of clowns in general. They all look weird and creepy and freak kids out.
Well, I think,
I think that's the idea.
It's not to freak out. It started way back, like with old court jester things and then...
Whoa. Stop right there. This is the next Connor Explains. This is what we've got to do. Clowns. Leave it to me.
Okay.
I'll explain.
Well, you'll have to look up something called... This is very fancy. Commedia dell'arte. Remember that. Look that up. Make that part of your thing.
I think it was an ice cream that I had. It cost me about $300.
There was a big cast of these people as well. So there's Ronald McDonald. You had the Hamburglar. You had Grimace.
Who was Grimace?
Also, Mayor McCheese. Big fan.
Oh. Interesting facts about Mayor McCheese. He was weighed as he went into there and then was weighed as he went out. But because he was made of cheese, just constantly got fatter.
Bit like the mayor.
Mark, give us your second fact of the show.
New York cabs have a secret way to tell police about crimes in the car. So if you are in a New York City taxi, they have a trouble light located on the back of their cab, which is used to send out a silent distress call in the event of crime. So that any police cars coming past can know. So if you're in there, you're getting robbed as a cab driver, you press your distress button, police car coming past.
I tell you what.
Knows what's going on.
Yeah, I'm useless. Four words. I ain't having it. I don't think they've all got this. I think some have, and then they're trying to purport this myth that they all have just to scare people off.
They do. The New York City yellow cabs, the famous ones, got a distress. Got distress light at the back.
I don't really think this is great. Not your facts, just the concept of it. I mean, you're in New York. You're in New York, busy, roads, nightmare, cars, gridlocked. I mean, you're in there, you know, you've got somebody with a knife slowly going into the back of your neck to rob you, and you rely on a distress light that's on the back of the cab for an officer to see it, make their way to you, pull you over, save you. Pointless.
It's not pointless. It's better than nothing. That's the point, isn't it?
You'd be better off winding the window down and going, help! Like, genuinely.
Yeah, but that isn't subtle, is it? Like, as you're being robbed, you can be pressing this button.
It's kind of like the silent distress
button on the bottom of tables at the bank.
Have you been to New York?
Right. Yes.
Brooklyn? Pretty, like, I mean, there's areas of Brooklyn that you definitely don't want to be walking down on your own late at night. Yeah, dodgy, dangerous people in New York. I'm telling you now that if one of them was in a cab doing some dodgy, dangerous things and I was a little bit on edge, I would rely a lot more on a window down, help me, than I would a distress light for a potential copper to make their way over and help me. Do you know what I mean?
No.
I'd probably take them. When I was in Brooklyn, I was wandering around at night. I'd probably have them.
Yeah, you would definitely have them.
Have them all.
Definitely, absolutely.
I think this works. I think this works on a crime that is a little bit more of a long-winded crime. Instant crime.
What? Like they're in there and they're just in the middle of a long con and they're like, oh, hang on, let's press the button. Just wait for someone to come in and sort this out.
I think it's good for, like, if they're dicking about in the back or they're kind of like, you know, like saying, abusing you or being racist, something like that. Works, you know, because they're not really going to be too sure it's happening. Instant crime, like, you know, they're around your neck and they've got you and you're like trying to push a distress light and hope that the cut, no, it's just, I don't buy it.
You've definitely done a runner, haven't you? You've definitely done a runner late at night.
No, never ever done a runner, ever.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to Paranormal Activity with me, Yvette Fielding, a brand new podcast bringing together people's real ghost, extraterrestrial and paranormal stories, as well as getting some inside details from those who study the supernatural. I'll be listening through your paranormal stories every week and try to understand them, as well as chatting about my own encounters with an occasional paranormal investigator too. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts from, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Acast. Just search for Paranormal Activity with Yvette Fielding.
You can always get in touch, as I say, it's info@baffledpod.com. Most expensive thing you've bought in a restaurant. I'm just interested. I want to know more about your life. Connor, what's your last fact of this here show?
If you want to lose weight, just sniff apples and bananas.
How?
So, science. We all like a bit of science. I'm the one who hates it most, but we rely on it, don't we, with our facts? A study conducted by the Smell and Taste Treatment and Research Foundation. Please just appreciate that name. Please.
That's
please.
Not a place.
Please.
Smell and Taste Research Appreciation Foundation.
Yeah. Satellite. Found that overweight people who smelled green apples and bananas when feeling hungry lost more weight than those who didn't.
Smelling that's because they were close enough for them to eat, whereas the others who weren't smelling them just didn't have any in their house because they had all the Argendas ice cream.
Apparently, smelling neutral sweet smell can actually curb hunger, says the study.
I know what you're thinking, Connor. I know what everyone's thinking here. Mark needs to smell some apples
Thanks.
And bananas.
Thank you there. Thank you.
It's lucky that I'm in this studio and not there because, I mean, the tension in that room, I see Mark's face. It's not looking good.
So, sorry, what is this? So, people that smell apples and bananas are more likely to not be fat.
Yeah, so the idea is, same concept as, like, desserts. I've known people to do it. I've seen people do it before. But, you know, like, kind of like, oh, I'm not going to have any, but I'm enjoying the smell. That concept, you know, you're smelling a brownie being cooked. In a way, it kind of, like, cures the fact that you're not eating it. That is a thing. People do it. Apparently, there is a study out there.
Surely you need to eat the apples and bananas to be a healthy person.
No, so it curbs the hunger and the addiction that you might have being overweight to sugary foods. So the idea of the banana...
Not having it.
I'm thinking Mark's right. I'm feeling old bloaty over ears right. you do need to, I think it's because healthy people who aren't fat are more likely to have apples and bananas in their house.
Mark, I just want to take this time to apologise, because without this fact, you wouldn't have been abused because
thanks.
Of your
thanks,
weight. I'd like to also, reassure you that you're not that. But
that's like, that sounds like such a backhanded, like we wouldn't have abused you about, the issue that we can all see here. Right, I am not. Anyway.
But all I'm going to say is, the editors and stuff that are listening, the producers, if everyone gets Mark in Secret Santa, Pink Ladies, just fine.
All I'm saying as well is, look, I don't want to say that Mark's a bit plumpy, but he does get weighed before and after every shift just to make sure that he's not got fat on the company dime.
How has this and me living on a farm ever become a thing?
Well, that's why you live on a farm. Instant access to food.
But it's true. When I used to live on a farm, didn't even wait for the pig to go to slaughter, just straight in on it, Instant access.
Right, speaking of foods, here's my last fact of the show. Mark, you'll love this. The first meal eaten on the moon was bacon.
In fairness, big fan of that.
The first meal eaten on the moon was bacon squares, peaches, probably only sniffed them, sugar cookie cubes, by the way, this is such an American thing, a pineapple, a grapefruit drink, and a coffee. They eat history's first meal on the moon after landing at the Sea of Tranquility. This was Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin. They ate their first meal on the moon there. That's what it was.
So it was a lunchbox. That was what they made for lunch.
What lunchbox are you having?
Well, I don't know, but it just sounds
bacon
like a fancy.
Squares,
it sounds like an
peaches, sandwich. sugar cookie cubes.
Sorry,
my
word,
there's a lot here. Pineapple, grapefruit drink, and coffee.
I'll have the bacon and the coffee. Lunchbox. The rest of it can you just leave that on board. I'm not interested.
Yeah, just cut open your veins for the bacon.
Lunchbox. I'll do they're some
not,
swappies.
They're not the same. They're not the same as our lunchboxes. Astronauts. They're different. Astronaut lunchbox, that is.
Yeah, no, I know, but. I think this is, you're right that they had a lunchbox, quote unquote, in that they had this in a box to take to the moon for their lunch. But it's because they had scheduled meals and they needed meals at certain points. And it just so happened that one of these schedules hit when they were on the moon. That's pretty cool, though. The first meal ever eaten on the moon was bacon.
I mean, if you did like a vote in the public, what should be the first meal we ever eat on the moon? Bet your bacon would win anyway.
No, mate, not in this modern day. You know, all of these millennials. Hey, I had to.
Yeah, but we're talking
it.
1960s, mate.
Yeah, you put that today, they'd say tofu. Get it up there.
No, they have. Well, they don't have a lot of bacon nowadays. Actually, they have. Astronauts have freeze-dried sausage patties that they have to rehydrate with hot water.
Oh, sounds delicious.
Oh, yeah.
Just give them a bag full of apple scent. That'll do it.
Mark, give us the last fact. Put that down. Stop your eating. Swallow it down. Give us your last fact to the podcast.
This is outrageous bullying. I'm so insulted.
Go to HR, mate, because the HR is you. So go on.
Yeah, Dan won't be here next week.
He thinks that's another fast food restaurant that's just opened down the road. Right, yeah, what is it?
Outrageous.
Come on, what is it?
I am too insulted to continue. No, you can cope with 8 facts this week. Don't even care.
But the thing is, this is the first time I think I've ever teased it quite so hard as 9 facts. I think at the start I said 9 facts coming up.
Mark, based on everything that Dan has delivered to you right now...
Well, no, don't say deliver. He'll think Just Eat's down the road.
This fact... come on, Mark. Blow us away. Come on.
The White House's basement has a bowling alley in it.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
That's good. Yeah, bring it on. Give me more.
So a bowling alley was added by Richard Nixon in 1969, and it's still there to this very day. There used to be a bowling alley in the West Wing before that. President Truman wanted one in 1947, but then they moved it out to make it into an executive room in 1955. But then Nixon went, whoa there! I only became president because I heard there was a bowling alley here. Put one in my basement. So they did. So there is a bowling alley in the basement of the White House.
So this brings me to think of houses that you see on Rightmove or Zoopla. You know, when we're trawling through ones that are £30 million.
Always.
And they've got bowling alleys and tennis courts. Who's using them? I think people that have tennis courts in their gardens never, ever use them. Once a year, max.
But, and very crucially, you can tell people you have a tennis court in your garden. That is the point of a tennis court in a garden, to be able to tell people you have a tennis court in your garden.
Yeah, fair. But they are never, ever using that bowling alley. I'm telling you this. If bloody sleepy Joe Biden has time to bowl on the job, I, as a non-voter in America, I will be furious.
In fairness, I'm fairly certain that President Trump's wife, Melania, probably went down and did bowling because it's what kids love doing,
right? Oh, there we go. Yeah, I mean, if Biden is bowling, do us a favour, mate, and open your borders because I've got a wedding end of October, so it would do me a favour.
It's a real problem in America right now, isn't it?
Mm. I'm meant to be there. Meant to be there right now, Con. Cry me a river.
You ain't getting there in October.
Mm. Absolutely not, mate.
No, I know. No, I know. I know.
What have we learned this week? We've learned where Ronald McDonald has gone. Also, why shops charge you 99p, not the full pound. And also, we know that if Mark was mayor, we'd all have to boo him. We'd all have to boo him for getting plump off the taxpayer's dime. Say goodbye, Connor.
See you later.
Say goodbye, Mark.
Goodbye.
Okay. Go on. Come on, open the door, run off to the kitchen, and I'm saying goodbye to you. I will see you soon. We've got another Connor Explains Friday, so make sure you follow, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.